Hey again, this is Sean. And so this is part two of All Truth and All Things. And I forgot to share some of the scriptures that I said I was going to share. So that's what I'm going to focus on in part of this one and give you the scriptures that I was referring to as far as just begin to see them in a different light, to begin to ask the question. As far as to begin to see the questions to ask the Father about concerning some of these scriptures. And the one thing that was coming to my mind earlier that I wanted to share was, you know, we hear stories, we hear, you know, we always hear stories of the people that are in the pulpit. You know, whoever this person might be, and a lot of times what we're hearing is their experiences or encounters and how the Lord's using them, and I don't know, maybe you haven't felt this way, but I know I felt this way quite a bit. It's like I walk away, and, you know, just the only question I have is, well, Lord, what's wrong with me, or why not me? It's like, you know, why am I not seeing these things, or why am I not experiencing this, or, you know, if they're getting to, because they're flesh and blood like I am, they're no different than me, and they have a relationship with you. So why am I not experiencing some of these things? And so, and I think it's just a lot of times, you know, they're not there to impart that. They're not there. Their focus is not on teaching that to for people to come into the realm of the Spirit to understand more and more the realm of the Spirit and the kingdom of heaven and all that the Father has for us to come into. You know, they're there on the assignment that they've been given. So, you know, not so much to, definitely not to judge them or to, you know, to be upset. It's just to recognize, it's for us to recognize that the way I see it, or at this point right now, the way I understand it, the way I'm seeing things is that the Father's waking up His sons, and the highest revelation that I see at the moment for us to come into is that of being His son. There, at the moment, I really don't see anything greater for us to understand. And the reason I say it like that is because, first and foremost, each and every one of us is a son. And so, you know, and I keep saying son, and I'm speaking to the women as well. You know, if I'm a bride, then you're a son. And so this doesn't have anything to do with gender. This is about function. And, you know, the function of a bride and then the function of a son. It's for us to understand the function of a bride, of being a bride, and then the function of being His sons. It's like for us to begin to understand, to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the function of that part of our identity and what that means. And so, you know, first and foremost is that we are sons. We are His sons, you know, because in the kingdom of heaven, in those heavenly places, we're not apostles there. We're not prophets, teachers, preachers, and evangelists. The fivefold ministry is meant for the earthly realm. It's the horizontal function of who we are. So first and foremost, we are His sons. And then as we function in the earth, you know, we might function as an apostle, a prophet, a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, or whatever it is. But first and foremost, each and every one of us has been called and created as His son. We are rightfully His sons. In Christ, we are His sons. And so as we just begin to identify as being His sons and then just begin to see, you know, like the Bob Jones or the Chuck Pierce or Bill Johnson or just the different men and women, Patricia King, just the different men and women that are in the body of Christ, and just begin to see them from a perspective of that they are sons, you know? They are sons of God. They've been created to be sons of God. And in the earth, they're fulfilling their function and their mandate in the earth. And that could be to teach prophecy. That could be to teach the kingdom principles. That could be to prophesy over a nation. That could be to go evangelize the continent of Africa or India or South America or whatever it is. But the point is that in the kingdom of heaven, in the courts of heaven, we are presented as His sons. And so as his sons, when we begin to function in the earth, in this earthly realm, our horizontal function, our horizontal relationship with people could be one of the five offices, one of the five offices of the church, or just many of the other facets of or giftings and anointings that the Lord would release on people. So it's not so much, I think more and more just getting our eyes off of what people are doing and just begin to simply see them as sons, and then just recognize they're doing the function that God intended for them to do in the earth. And even like someone like Bob Jones, I've heard numerous stories about just, first of all, he is fully in his spirit. When he goes into the kingdom of heaven, he knows and understands how to be fully in his spirit, walking in the kingdom of heaven, interacting with the angels, receiving, the angelic visitations as far as like receiving the word, the assignment, what he's been shown, what the Lord's showing him. And so the thing is that he's functioning as a prophet in the earth. So part of that function is that the Lord is showing him the things to come pertaining to a group of people, a nation, a region, whatever it might be, but his function in the earth is that of a prophet. And so part of that function is that he does have visions or angelic encounters, and he's given messages for presidents or nations and churches or regions and states. However, whatever the sphere of that influence or that word might cover, the Lord would release that word to a prophet. So Bob Jones is simply functioning as a prophet, but he's still a son of God first and foremost. And so what we need to just simply begin to understand for ourselves is that I'm a son too, and I have a spirit just like Bob Jones or any other man or woman that we might receive teaching from or kind of respect in the body of Christ, as just recognizing and respecting, honoring the anointing, the authority that God has placed upon them to lead the body for a season or for the mandate that the Father's given to them. And so it's just a matter of us beginning to connect the dots and realizing that I'm a son and I have a spirit, and I've never been taught, we haven't been taught how to be in the spirit yet. We've been taught how to hear God. We've been taught how to prophesy. We've been taught how to do deliverance, intercession, just all the stuff that we've been, the things that have been imparted over the last, 10 or 15 years or more, and even beyond that. But the point is that for us to begin to recognize that first and foremost, I have been created as a son. I am a son of God. I am his son, and therefore I have a spirit, because in John 3 it says that I've been born again. So I'm spirit. My spirit has been reborn. So I am spirit. I have a spirit man, and I haven't maybe fully connected to my spirit yet. So it's just a matter of beginning to learn how to connect with our spirit and begin to learn how to go into the kingdom more and more. And so it doesn't have anything to do with anointings or giftings this person's more special than you or anything like that. It's just they're fulfilling the function and the mandate that the Father has given them to function in the earth right now. And obviously, some walk in greater levels of authority and anointing, but that's not to say that one day in your life you may not walk in that same realm of authority and anointing. But it's not even so much desiring those things as it is if for each and every one of us. And this is something that I'll probably speak on later, in maybe another few teachings down the road or whatever. But every one of you, every one of us, has been given a mandate by God. There's been a scroll written in heaven of our life. Our life has been written on a scroll in heaven. And so as we begin to ask the Father more and more, and I would just even encourage you now to begin to ask the Father to reveal to you, to tell you and reveal to you, what is your mandate? What have you been created for? What is your purpose and your function in the earth, so that you can bring about, as I said in the last teaching, that the sons of God are being awakened so that the restoration of all things can take place. So the point is for you to recognize that first and foremost, you're a son, that you have a Father who is in heaven who loves you more than you will ever know, and that he has a mandate for you. He has a function and a calling and a purpose for you in this earthly realm. And as you learn how to ascend into his hill, come into those heavenly places and begin to encounter him and experience him. And then little by little, you know, you've been in that process since the day you were born. You know, God has been, you've been coming into the fullness. You've been moving into the very thing that you were created for, the very function, the purpose, and the mandate that the Father has purposed for you to come into. Now, whether you know that already or not, I don't know. But if you don't know that, it's just simply for you to begin to realize that you do have a mandate and that the Father will tell you, because he told me what mine was. And so the point is for you to recognize that you have a mandate and just begin to ask the Father, what is your mandate? For you to begin to know the function and the purpose and the mandate that he has for you to fulfill and accomplish in the earth. So that the part, you know how we're in his vineyard, right? The earth is his vineyard. And so it's like that you've been given a plot of ground. You've been given a portion to watch over, to steward, to tend, to work the land, to whatever that might look like. So the point is for you have a piece. Each and every one of us has a part in this restoration. As his sons, we have a part in the restoration of all things. So it's like we may not have heard this before, but we have a part in this. And I would say it to anyone listening is that you have a part in the restoration of all things. There are heavenly places that only you can come into. There's thrones in the heavens that are for you to sit on. There's places in the heavens that are for you to dwell and to occupy. And you are the only one that is meant to come into those places. No one else is meant to come into those places. So I would tell you, I would say to you now, begin to ask the Father, you know, about those places. Begin to ask him to awaken you as his son. Begin to ask him to reveal the kingdom of heaven to you. And just begin to come in. You know, just begin to embrace the revelation and let him bring you in, and just let desire bring you into that place. And just begin to wait on him, to encounter him and just see what he has for you. And so I think a lot of us just simply need to begin to recognize that, you know, to see these men and women as who they really are. You know, they're flesh and blood just like we are. And the Lord has given them a mandate, a function, and a purpose in the earth, and they're fulfilling that mandate. And it's not for us to idolize them, you know. By no means, you know, don't know in your heart that you have, you know, that you haven't idolized a leader, you know, a person that is considered a leader in the body of Christ, that you haven't idolized them. Your relationship is with the Father. Your heavenly Father is who your relationship is supposed to be with, not with a man in a pulpit, not with a religious leader, not with a church, a denomination, or anything. Your relationship, first and foremost, is with the Father. You should know how to, you should hear, I hope that you hear his voice. I hope that you do understand when he's interacting with you, that you do know and recognize when he's meeting with you in your dreams, or he's giving you visions, or in your quiet time with him, that his presence is with you, that he's communing with you, that you're communing with him. I mean, I hope and pray that you know these things. And so for your heart to be free and clear of any idolatry of leadership, of you know, the things that we've been exposed to in the past, of just that whole dynamic of Moses on the mountain and the people not wanting to ascend into the hill. And they said, Moses, you go and speak with him. We don't want to go. And that is the very thing that needs to be broken in every one of us, because we need to, just like in Isaiah 11, where it says, you know, when Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus, that he delighted himself in the fear of the Lord. And that's, you know, and that's the thing that we need to come into as well, because if Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord, then it would really behoove us to do the same thing, because he is the type and the shadow. He is the picture for us to begin to emulate, and for the image of the Father to be restored in us, for his image being restored in us, for his glory being revealed in us. So even going back to Moses on the mountain, it's like that very thing that kept the people from approaching the Lord is the very thing that each and every one of us are going to have to press through and just walk through and come through that fear. And it's a, you know, it's just an awe, it's a reverence, it's a quaking in your boots, you know. I mean, I've experienced it a few times, and so even while I'm talking about it now, the last year, in September in 2010, the Father, he The one thing that we need to realize is that there's two realms. There's the natural and the heaven, right? There's the natural and the realm of the spirit. And so the Lord, the Father, can come into this realm, and we need to learn how to go into that realm where he is. So it's like he can, you know, he can sovereignly come into this realm, and we need to learn how to go into that realm where he is. We need to learn how to ascend and to take our place. We need to learn how to come into the realm of the spirit and encounter him and meet with him where he is in the kingdom of heaven. And so one night last year, in September, the Lord came into this realm, and he drew near, and there's several scriptures that I can share later. I'm not going to get into the whole thing about, you know, the Lord has covered himself with darkness. And so there's several teaching, or there's several scriptures that allude to the fact that he has covered himself with clouds and with darkness. And you see that in Exodus 19, you know, the cloud that covered the top of the mountain. And so he drew near, and there was a fear that was in the house that I couldn't get away from. And see, the thing is it's not like the fear that would come from the enemy. And that's why we need discernment, because we need to discern that this is the fear of the Lord, that this is him drawing near. And so, it's taken me a few times to recognize, because I can even remember now when I was younger that I know the Lord was drawing near, because I've experienced this fear before, and it wasn't demonic, and I know that it was the Lord drawing near. And so I tried to lay down to go to sleep, and this fear, I couldn't go to sleep. And as I was kind of dozing in and out, and then all of a sudden I just saw in the spirit, and I saw myself crouched down, and I was just swatting at this veil, and I could see the veil, and it was like a black, like linen, loosely woven, I'll just say linen. You know how linen sometimes can be loosely woven so you can see through the fabric? And so that's what it appeared like. And the side that I was on was black. It was dark. And on the other side of the veil, I could see his legs, and they were white. They were glowing, just glowing white is the only way I can describe it. And he was like right there. So it's like I know that I've come, you know, right there at the veil, and you know, and that's one of the things I'm pursuing and seeking after and desiring, is to go beyond the veil and go and sit with him under the canopy and encounter him, and to sit with him, to see him, to speak with him, and to just really see him face to face. And so the point is that, you know, we need to just understand that we are spirit, and the leaders in the body of Christ are performing the function. They're doing the function that God has intended for them to do. And that we can go into the kingdom, and desire will bring us in that place. And so it's just more and more for us to understand, and just to break off the shame, the discouragement, the don't measure up, all the many different ways that we can perceive ourselves. And we need to begin to align ourselves with how the Father sees us and what he says about us. And if he says that you're loved and highly favored and you're forgiven, then what are you going to believe? You know, if he said that I love you, that your sins have been cast into the sea, and that I forgave you and I've forgotten them, then he's not holding anything against you. So what are you going to believe? Are you going to continue to be gripped with shame and just condemnation and just all the stuff that the enemy would want to try and bind you up with, or just agree with what the Father says about you and begin to align yourself with how he sees you, so that you can begin to see yourself as he sees you? And so there's just a lot of that I believe that needs to be broken off of us, you know, because we haven't heard a lot of, I guess, teaching to really impart and to show us the way in. You know, we've always kind of seen a man or a woman in their anointing, and they've talked about their anointing and just how the Lord's using them and just their experiences and encounters and all that stuff. And, you know, it's great. And I've just learned how to take those things and know that it's real, it's possible, and it's for me. And I just start praying into it. And I just start, whatever it is that sparks my desire, if I've heard something of someone that's had an encounter and experience, and they're like talking about stuff that I'm not familiar with, but I know it's real and I know it's true and it's of the Lord, then I'm going to pounce on that thing and I'm going to grab a hold of it, and I'm just going to keep it before the Father. And I don't know how many irons I have in the fire right now. I don't know how many things that there's like a laundry list of stuff that you know that I've asked the Father about at different times, but I've had to go back and just kind of focus in on one thing for a while and make that until the Lord starts to reveal that to me, and then I might move on to the next one whenever I feel like I've come into a certain place of understanding or that place has been made real to me. So, you know, each one of us has our own process to walk through, and it's just a matter of, you know, just you recognizing what works for you, what's best for you in your relationship with Him, and how you interact with Him and how you commune with Him. And then just, you know, just let Him reveal to you more and more the things that He has for you to know and to understand. And so that's one of the big things is that we just need to just know that we're spirit and we're no different than Bob Jones, Chuck Pierce, Patricia King, Heidi Baker, you know, all these Christian rock stars that unfortunately have been made, you know, that sometimes could be idolized in the eyes of other believers. And so it's, you know, they're performing their mandate. And I thank God for each and every one of them, for the testimony that they are in the earth and for all that they're doing, for the nations that are being impacted, for the miracles, the signs and wonders that are taking place, for the testimonies that they've been given, for the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of heaven. And so it's we need to look at it in a different light and say, you know, wow, they have something that I want. It's like we need to learn how to let people provoke jealousy in us, to recognize they have something that I want. They have something that I don't have. They know something that I don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and fall into this trap of, woe is me. You know, God doesn't have that for me. God doesn't want that for me. I'm not good enough, or I don't measure up. Whatever the excuse is, or whatever the lie is, you just need to see it for what it is and just go, no, that person has something that I want. They know something that I don't know, and I'm going to find out. In Jesus' name, I'm going to find out. And then it's just grab hold of that thing, and then just get in your closet with the Lord, get in that secret place with the Lord, and then just begin to pound on the door, to begin to seek it out and to knock and to ask, and just take it before the Father. And so, and even mentioning the asking, seeking, and knocking, the other thing that I would that I've been wanting to share is just, you know, the Word of Faith Camp has done a really awesome job of presenting and teaching the Word of Faith message. But unfortunately, the only thing that I would say is it's all been focused on the things in the natural. You know, just about every bit of the message is focused on the things in the natural. It's like, you know, you walk by faith, you're obedient to tithing, you're obedient doing this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, and it's all about natural things. And that's not, to me, that's not the point. The higher thing for us to come into is the things of heaven, and to begin to recognize and to know that the Father desires for us to know about the things of heaven. He wants us to ask Him about the things of heaven. He wants us to knock on the doors that are in heaven. He wants us to seek out, to ask Him about the things of heaven. It's like, I know that the Lord desires for us to know the truth more than we desire it. And until you recognize that for yourself, that the Father desires for you to know the truth more than you desire it, because see, it all starts with, well, you got to know what it is that you're desiring. You know, that's what I was saying last time. It's like, I'm going to keep pounding on that thing every time I speak about these things. It's like, that's just something that we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to ask the question. And so in an encounter, as I've been studying the Hebrew more and more, and on this one particular occasion, I was asking the Father about the Elohim Aleph Tav. And if any of you have ever done any Hebraic studying, then you know that the Aleph Tav, that the rabbis have never been able to translate that. They don't even know what it means. They don't know what's being said. They've never been able to translate it. So in like Genesis 1, it's the Bereshit Bara Elohim Aleph Tav. And that those four words get translated, in the beginning God created. Okay, so I was just seeking the Lord one day, asking Him about the Elohim Aleph Tav. And you know, He started to speak to me about it. But then at the end of what He was saying to me, there was like a, there was a yearning in his heart. There was a burning desire in him when he said this to me. And he just said, ask, ask. It's like in that word that came, you know, that word that he spoke to me, there was a burning desire in him waiting for me to ask him the question. He's waiting for each and every one of us to ask him. He's waiting on us to knock on the door. He's waiting on us to seek him out. He's longing for us. He is so longing and desiring us to begin to turn our eyes to heaven, to begin to turn our heart towards him, and to begin to seek him out in the secret place, to begin to seek him out in prayer and fasting and in just waiting on the Lord, and begin to seek him out and to begin to ask him about not only just knowing him, but to begin to know about the things of heaven, begin to understand about the kingdom of heaven, and to ask him to bring us into the fullness, to be filled to the fullness of God, to be filled with the fullness of him, for Christ to be revealed in us, for Christ to be fully formed in us. And so that was a really amazing, just, I guess, moment with the Lord, because it just let me know once and for all, he is so desiring us, in just any one of us, to turn our hearts towards him. And he's so desiring, waiting for us just to ask him the question and not giving up. Not getting frustrated if it doesn't come in the first time we ask. Because like I said in the last teaching, it's like we've got to learn how to ask the right question. And until we know the right question, until we've sat and it's like, okay, consider holding on to, a soccer ball. And just you're holding this soccer ball. So imagine that you're thinking, you know, what it feels like, how heavy it weighs. You might even consider the patterns on the ball. You know, why does it have these patterns? Why does it do this? Why does it have that? And why does it look this way? So you just start asking all these questions. And it's the same way with the things of the Lord. We have a thought. We hear something that we've never heard before. And then we begin to ask the Father about it. We begin to ponder about it. We begin to just let the questions begin to form and begin to ask the right questions. And then once we can ask the right questions, here comes the revelation. I promise you, here it comes when we can ask the right questions. And that's what we've got to learn how to do. So I've got a few scriptures that I'm just gonna throw out there for whoever's listening. And this is kind of like the process that I've been going through. This is what this looks like. And that's been my prayer, you know, as the Lord, you know, was prompting me to begin to record the messages and to share with whoever might be listening, that, you know, for me to be able to, I want to be able to speak plainly about these things, because we need to understand that the realm of the Spirit is more real than the natural realm. And we need to be able to speak about the realm of the Spirit in simple terms, in breaking off the, like it's some kind of wowy thing of it only happens to them, and they're the only ones that know about these things, and they're the only ones that and get to encounter these things, and just all the stuff that the enemy would have us believe, and all this stuff. So it's just simply... my heart's desire is for more and more. I just pray for the days to come when we can talk about the things of heaven and the things of the Spirit, and it's commonplace, it's normal, because this is who we are. We're Spirit, and God is Spirit, and we've got to learn how to worship Him in Spirit and truth. We've got to learn how to commune with Him. We can only commune with Him in the Spirit, okay? We can only connect with Him in the Spirit. And then it's out of our spirit, into our soul, into our body, you know, the kingdom of heaven flowing inside out. And so... we've just got to be able to, just as our mind has been conformed to this world, and just as normal and habitual the thinking and the patterns of this world, it's like we need to get flipped right side up, and that's why our mind needs to be renewed, so that we can begin to see clearly, and that when we begin to come into the realm of the kingdom, you know, as we begin to have a grid and an understanding for the kingdom of heaven and for what's there, for everything that's there, and for the protocol and the order and the ways of the kingdom, the ways of the Father, to begin to understand those things, and begin to to begin to speak plainly about them in a way that's just, this is normal. This is who we are. This is every day. This is a normal, everyday Christian life, you know? It's not that I had a vision 5 years ago, and I had a dream like 4 years ago, and I haven't dreamed since. I haven't had any more angelic encounters for like the last 10 years or anything like that. It's like, no. I mean, the kingdom of heaven is everywhere, and the angels are everywhere. It's just a matter of just breaking off, you know, no longer us being dull and blind and deaf to the things of the Spirit, but for our eye to be awakened, our eye to be open and enlightened, and for us to see and discern into the realm of the Spirit more and more, and to know that it's real, and that's who we are. That is our identity, is we are Spirit, and we were made and created to be Spirit, to commune with the Father from out of those heavenly places, out of the kingdom of heaven, and begin to come into the earth and to restore order, and for the restoration of all things to come into the earth, and for his creation to be restored back into his glory. So we've got to unconform our minds to this world. And so as we just embrace the truth and the things that the Father's revealing to us, then our mind will be renewed more and more. And we're closer and closer to experiencing the transformation that will come from that renewing of our mind, for truth being established in our innermost parts, for truth being established in us. And I had a really cool experience last April. I think it was April or May last year. And so I was asleep one night, and my spirit was like all over the place, just stirred up, just going crazy. And at one point in the night, I felt like I had lost, like part of my mind had been removed. That's the only way I know how to say it. It just felt like part of my mind got taken out. And it freaked me out so much that I woke up, and I was kind of, you know, I was kind of discerning what was going on. And, you know, I wasn't feeling any fear as far as like demonic activity or just anything of darkness, you know, just any kind of oppression or attack in the night or anything like that. So I just went back to sleep. And then when I woke up in the morning, I was like, Father, what was that about? What was that? You know, is that you? You know, is that you? And I just heard him say, yep. He just said, yes, I'm transforming you. And I was like, okay, I just want to know that it's you. And because I'm telling you, it freaked me out. It woke me up kind of, I didn't know what to think about it for a few minutes, for a little bit. And then I went back to sleep. And then, you know, once he told me that it was him and that he was transforming me, I was like, praise, thank you, Father. You know, and so, amen. I got to experience whatever, because there's no telling, like that moment, what that could translate to in as far as in time, you know, in a matter of time. I mean, that could have, that moment of what he did in that moment could have translated into months or years for me to experience that renewing that happened in that moment. It may have taken months or years for me to, that this what he accomplished in that one act during the night, it may have taken me days, weeks, months, or years to come into that same place. Whatever he was pulling out of my mind, whatever, basically it was, you know, it was obviously a demonic mindset. It was a mindset that was contrary to the truth. So praise the Lord, he was removing those things out of my mind. And so he was making way for the truth to come and be established in my mind and renewing my mind so that I could be transformed. So amen. And, you know, I pray that some of you may have already experienced that, but Father, I just ask, Father, just for that transformation, Father, for the renewing of our minds, Father, in the night seasons, or Father, in the reading of your word, Father, to begin, for the truth to begin to strike our heart, for the truth to be established in our mind, Father, and Lord, for that, for the transformation that's possible, for the renewing that's possible, Father, to begin to take place, to begin to, Father, for our mind to be unconformed to this world and to be conformed to your reality, to be conformed to the kingdom of heaven, to be conformed to the things of the Spirit. And I just thank you, Father, and just bless you, Father. Thank you for all that you're doing, and I give you praise and glory and honor. Just thank you, Father. So one of the scriptures that I want to share is Matthew 4, verse 8. And I'm not even going to really share maybe some of the things that I've seen. Because we've got to break out of the mindset of, you know, like you hear somebody's encounter. And like I was thinking earlier, like the example, I guess, would be, okay, you go up to somebody and you say, hey, you know, the kingdom of heaven is real. And they've never heard that, you know, and they might even be a believer, you know, and because they were thinking, you know, that maybe the kingdom of heaven is real, but yeah, well, it's real. It's after I die, then it's real, you know, because then I'm there because it's after when I die. It's like, no. It's real today. And they're like, really? And so, but they don't do anything with that. They just walk around and say, hey, the kingdom of heaven is real, because they heard you say it to them. And they didn't take anything. They didn't begin to ask the question. They didn't begin to take it before the Father and say, Father, is the kingdom of heaven real? Well, if it's real, can I come in? Can I come in right now? Can I begin to see into the kingdom of heaven? Can I begin to experience the Father, I ask you to show me the way in. I ask you to reveal the path. Father, I ask you to show me the way into the kingdom of heaven. Father, for my eyes to begin to see. Father, for my eyes to be open to see the way into your kingdom. If it's real, I want to come. I want to be with you right now. If it's possible for me to be with you right now, then I want to be there. I want to come and encounter you and commune with you and fellowship with you in the heavens with you in eternity right now. And so then you take that same person. And they haven't done anything with what you said to them last time. They just still know that the kingdom of heaven's real. And then, okay, you know, let's say a year later you run into them again. And you say, hey, you know, the kingdom of heaven is real, right? And there's a way in. It's like there's a door for you to go in. The Lord has opened up a door for you to go in. And so then they just go around, they're doing the same thing. They're just telling everybody, you know, the kingdom of heaven's real, and there's a door open for you to go in, but there's no substance, there's no power in what's being said, because it's just knowledge, it's just rote. That person hasn't done anything with what you've told them, and so that's what we've got to learn how to do. Is as we hear revelation, as we hear the things that are going to be coming, because I'll just go ahead and say this, that, you know, I've been gratefully. The Lord has blessed us with several opportunities to hang out with Jason Westerfield and Ian Clayton. And I know there's many others in the earth that I may not ever get to meet or know of. But, you know, the Lord has blessed us with some just several occasions to be able to hang out with them and spend time with them and be in meetings with them. And they've just, you know, the Lord has sown a lot through them in our lives. And so, you know, those are two of the ones that I would share that, you know, some of you listening to these may or may not know about them, but, you know, those are two of the ones that have really impacted not only myself, but other friends of mine and my wife and just really begun to hear just some of the things that they're encountering. And like I said earlier, it's like, you know, these guys know something that I don't know. They have something that I don't have, and they know something that I don't know, and it's mine. I know it's God's will for me, and it's mine. I'm not coming up with anything less than what's mine. And it goes back to, you've been given all things. In Christ, you've been given all things, and all you've got to do is begin to believe and ask the Father what those things are. And just let him, he'll begin to reveal them to you. You just, by faith, you just simply believe and just know that he's going to begin to reveal those things to you. And so the scripture that I want to share, And it's just like, I want to share the scripture, and then I'm just going to throw some questions out there, and then I'm just going to leave it at that. Because, I mean, the Lord's given me, you know, some revelation as far as, like, he's shown me some things concerning this scripture and some of these scriptures, like one other scripture that I'm going to share with you. But the point is not so much for me to share an encounter, an experience, or whatever. It is, as it is more for each and every one of us to begin to see from a different perspective and to think a different way about when we read the word, or when we hear revelation, begin to ask the question, begin to go to the Father, to learn how to go to the Father and ask the question. That's really what these two teachings are about all truth and all things. It's about learning how to go to the Father. Our relationship is with Him. And as I said earlier, His desire, it's like, I know. There's a burning desire in Him for us, waiting for us to ask Him the question. He is longing for us to ask Him the question. He is longing and waiting for us to interact with Him, to engage Him in the realm of the Spirit, and to receive what He has to give us. You know, the food and the drink that He has to offer to us. I mean, He's waiting, and He is desiring for us to come in. I just know that I know. So, Matthew 4, verse 8, it says, "And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" Okay. So what... The questions that come to my mind as I've read that is, one, are they in the spirit or they're natural? Did Satan come into this realm, or did Jesus go in that realm with Satan? And Satan took him up into the high place in the heavens and showed him the kingdoms of this world, which is the very things that Adam forfeited, which are the very things that got stolen, that were stolen that day in the garden. When Satan came and usurped the dominion that had been given to Adam. And so when you read the scripture, begin to ask the questions that you've never asked before. Begin to think and to see it in a way that, you know, were they in the spirit? Were they in the natural? And then begin to connect with Adam, because this is the thing. When we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we've never been told. Nobody's ever taught yet. I mean, there's a few out there now, but there before, you know, it wasn't too long ago that there was hardly anyone out there that was talking about the kingdom of heaven from a perspective of, well, okay, it's way more than just the garden. It's way more than just Adam getting kicked out of the garden. So what did Adam forfeit? What did Adam give up? Okay? And so that scripture right there alludes to the kingdom that was once covered with the glory of the Lord, that was, you know, in the original, before the fall, that it was full of light. But then when Adam fell, that light was removed. That garment of the glory, that garment of light that was radiating from the Father, that was covering His creation, that garment was removed because that place that where, because really that light was emanating through Adam. And so it was through that light, when Adam fell, that light was taken. That glory was removed from the places that Adam had dominion over, and they were usurped and given to Satan. So it's not even, you know, obviously we know that Satan can't create anything. He only mimics, copies, perverts what's there. And so the thing to begin to realize is that the places that Adam forfeited, they're covered in darkness, they're filled with darkness, because those are the very places that the enemy stole from Adam. And so as a manifested son, there are some places that are covered in darkness that have been prepared for you and I, and it's just a matter of us coming in and the Lord revealing them to us and knowing that this is for us. It's mine because I'm in Christ. It's part of my inheritance, and this is mine now. And that's something I can get into later, because there's been several encounters where the Lord's brought me into places, and there's been, you know, whatever. There's been spirits there that have had to be dealt with, and it's just a matter of standing up in your identity. It's like, no, I'm a son, and I will rule. I am ruling, and I will rule, and you can go now because I'm here. The Father has brought me here, and this is mine. And so it's just a matter of standing up in our true identity as being His son. And it's just that simple. It's none of this, you know, fighting with Him for 4 hours and all this stuff. It's just, no, this is mine. This has been restored now, and it's mine, and you can leave. And you can either leave, or it's about to get really brutal, and, you know, we're going to have to pull out the sword and slice and dice and cast you down and all that stuff. So, I mean, it can go one of two ways, but either way, I win. This is mine. It's my inheritance. This is the Father's inheritance for me. So, you know, I'm here now. So begin to just, you know, read that scripture and just begin to ask questions that you haven't asked before. You know, begin to think about the kingdoms that Satan was offering to Jesus. That those were the very things that Adam was ruling over. Those were the very things that Adam had dominion over. And he forfeited those things on that day that sin entered in. And so those are the places that are being restored. Those are the places that are being restored. Those are the very places that the Father's going to bring us into. And so that the restoration of all things can take place. And so one last scripture is Matthew 6:33. And we've heard this quoted time and time again. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so Jesus, in the scriptures before, he was just talking about most of them were physical needs, like clothing, food, and all of the, it was mostly natural things in the natural. But yet he said, seek first his kingdom. And we haven't really heard yet. I mean, you know, like I said, there are a few people out there that are beginning to release an understanding of that. But most of us have not heard a real understanding or any substance on seek first the kingdom of heaven. It's just a Christian cliche. It's because it's in the Bible. We know it's true, but we don't even know what it means. We don't even have an understanding of how to seek first the kingdom. But I'm here to tell you that's about to change for those that have ears to hear and eyes to see. And we begin to seek first the kingdom of heaven. So the exercise that, you know, part of the exercise that I would, you know, just recommend for you is just begin to ponder on that verse. Begin to ask the Father, I want to know about the kingdom of heaven. I want to know what the kingdom of heaven is, where it is. How do I come in? What's in the kingdom of heaven? Where's the pathways? Where's the doors? Where's the way in? How do I come in? What does it look like? What are the heavenly places that you've prepared for me? You know, just begin to ponder and think about the kingdom of heaven, and just let the Father just begin to meet you in that place of desiring those things. And I promise you that it will begin to open up for you, that desire and the Father meeting you in that desire, that those things will begin to open up and be revealed to you, and he'll bring you in there. I know he will. And so it's just a matter of learning more and more how to ask the question and how to form the right question. And then, you know, like the other one that I left you with last time was the 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love believes all things. And love believes all things. You know, I think I could probably stay there for a very, very, very long time. You know, that the Father, you could almost say that that's a foundation for where we're going. I mean, I could spend the rest of my life. Love believes all things. There's so much depth in those four words. There's so much meaning. There's so much truth. There's so much waiting for us to understand in those four words that it's just a matter of us beginning to grab a hold of it and just begin to sit there and ask the Father, love believes all things. Love believes all things. And if your love and your love is in me and I know that love, then I want to believe all things and I want to know what all things are. I want to know what all things are. I want to know what you have for me to know. And so that's what I would say to each and every one of you. It's just anyone really that I get to speak with or encounter and talk with is that the point is that you've been created to be a son, and you don't have to wait till you die to be presented as a son. You don't have to wait until you die and go to heaven to begin to understand what that means. And Jesus is the type and shadow. He is the picture for us to look at and to know and to understand that Christ in us is going to bring us into that same place where he walked in the earth, because he was a man just like we were. He was flesh and blood just like we were. He was filled with the fullness. He was filled with the fullness of God, and he was given. Now, granted, he was God in the flesh, But the point is to recognize that we can walk in that same realm, those same realms, that same relationship that he had with the Father. I mean, because he said himself, greater things that you will do. I mean, that's a whole nother one that you could begin to ask the Father about. And I really believe that part of the greater things is us manifesting as sons and beginning to bring about the restoration of his creation and the part that he's given for us to do. And you know, whatever that looks like, I don't know, because we haven't seen that yet. But it's just beginning to believe that it's possible and it's real and it's true. And just letting the Lord begin to bring us into those places. So thank you, Father. So Father, I just thank you for this time. Father, I thank you for this, for each and every person that's listening. Father, just bless them. And Father, Lord, just for truth to come, for truth to be revealed. Father, for truth to become flesh in each and every one of us. Father, for Christ to be revealed in us, for Christ to be formed in us, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for bringing us into the revelation, Father, for revealing the truth, Father, of us being your sons. And Father, I just thank you that more and more, Father, in the days to come, that this will become a commonplace, normal message, Father. Lord, that this would not be a remnant message, Father, but Lord, that it would become a commonplace message, Father, that the body of Christ would come in to the revelation of being your sons, Father. Lord, that there would be enormous, Father, a huge company of people, Father, in the earth that would receive and hear what you're saying and doing right now concerning these things, Father, and begin to embrace the revelation of being your sons and just to allow you to bring them in to the fullness of that revelation, Father, to know what that looks like, to know what it means, to have the understanding of those things and to begin to function and be. Father, just as you are there, so are we in this world. Father, to be, Father, just as you are there. Father, to be your sons in the earth, Father, and to reflect your glory. Father, for your image to be restored in each and every one of us, Father, for your glory to be revealed in us, Father, for the knowledge of your glory, Father, to be revealed in us. And I just thank you, Father, and just bless you, and just thank you for all that you're doing, Father, and just give you praise and glory and honor, and just bless each and every listener, Father, that's listening to these teachings, and just bless them, and just lift them up to you, Father. Lord, just lift up their families, their finances, their homes, Father, their relationships, the ministries that you've given them, the work that you've given for them, Father, their mandates, their purposes, Father, and just all that you have for them in their place, Father. The part that they have in the restoration of all things. And I just lift them up to you and just bless them, Father, and just thank you and just give you praise and glory and honor, Father, for you to glorify your name, Father, in your creation, for you to glorify your name in all the earth once again. Father, for you to glorify your name in our generation, in this generation, Father, for your name to be glorified in the earth as it is in heaven, Father. And I just thank you, Father, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I bless you until next time. Amen.